They say, well, it's going pretty good. What would you like to be doing, or what should you be doing? That's a great question to ask, because it gives you the disparity between where they are and where they want to be. And they say, well, I should be doing this much per month. I should be, right now I'm making $2,000 a month. I should be making $10,000 a month. Okay, now that gives us a lot of information. If we chunk up on that $10,000 and we say, for what purpose? Like, well, you want $10,000 a month. For what purpose, or what will that get for you or allow you to do? That's going to give us tremendous information about where this person is going, what's important to them in their life, and about their values in relationship to where they're headed, right? So then if we understand their values, like then we can utilize that in the sales process by showing them how our product or service helps them fulfill their values. That's going to be more compelling to them than the $10,000 a month. There's two ways that values, and asking questions about values in the questioning phase, because remember, first step is rapport, second step is ask questions. And there's a couple of ways that you can ask questions about their values that's going to benefit both parties in the process. So if I ask the person that I'm about to go into a working relationship with, what's important to you in a business relationship, that in and of itself is going to show them first that I respect them. Secondly, it's going to, then I could go about fulfilling those values. And they may say, whatever they say integrity, trust, that we work together, that we both take on 50% of the workload. They're going to throw out certain things. Maybe they want to take on 10%, or maybe that it's something that's out of their hair, yet they just can touch it just a little bit. They're going to have a whole lot of criteria or values about a business relationship. So if you find that out, then we're going to have the best chance of fulfilling that criteria. So that's goes into really really stepping up to the plate in terms of consultative selling, because then we're gonna do everything that we can that fulfills their relationship strategies in the context of that relationship, the business relationship that we have.
Now, do your values have to be aligned with them in order to have a business relationship? They don't, do they?
No.
You just have to know what theirs are,
because then you can fulfill them and you make sure you don't do anything that violates their values or. And then you could ask them threshold values as well. If all these values were present in the context of a business relationship, what would have to happen that would cause you to leave that relationship? And they say, well, you know, and they're gonna tell you a lot of information there. Now, if you've got more time in the selling process, those are wonderful questions to ask, because they're gonna save you a lot of trial and error in terms of building that relationship with that person. Then you can also ask them, what are their values about, what are their values in the context of their career? If you understand their values in the context of their career or in the context of business, then that's going to help you to go into making the sale. Now, this is if we're using the five-step sales process in a business environment. If we're doing it anyplace else, like let's say, because I use this in therapy too. So I find out somebody's what their life values are. I can use those values. I can utilize their values to sell them ideas. For example, the person that came to me that wanted to lose weight, and I asked him, I developed rapport, I asked questions. I said, what's important to you about losing weight? What's important to you in life? What's important to you? And I got a whole bunch of values. Understanding that, like I worked with somebody recently, and family was their highest value, more important to them than anything. So then knowing that, I can then sell them the idea of making a change in their life by linking working out to family. So I said, well, you know, communication is, when you think about it, communication is 7% words, 38% tonality, 55% physiology. So you've been telling your son that working out is a good thing to do, and it's good to be healthy, and it's good to, but yet your actions are speaking something totally different. You know, so I can use that. I can use the fact that they value family more than anything else to help them as a propulsion system to help them make that change. For me, that's selling an idea. So I'm selling the concept to that person by understanding their values, and I would find that out in the questioning phase. So I look at the five-step sales process as whether I'm selling to a business or whether I'm selling somebody an idea. Yeah. You can also ask questions. You can discover their strategies, find out what their strategies are, anchor any needed states, discover meta programs as well. Here's my questioning flow that I use. And this is adapted from something that I got from Dale Carnegie training, although I liked their questioning flow. They asked a few different types of questions. They asked as-is questions. As-is, and this is just in the questioning format, or in that piece. That's the second step of the five-step sales process. As-is questions give you the current situation of the person's business or life. Oh, so as-is questions. As-is questions like, if I was going into a business and I was doing consultative selling, or if I'm working with an individual, I'd say, well, what's going on for you now? How much are you currently producing in your business? Who are your top producers? What the as-is type questions do is they give me an understanding of, if I, in NLP terminology, they give me an understanding of that person's model of the world. In a business environment, as-is questions give me an understanding of the business. So when I ask those types of questions, I'm filling in my picture because I want to have a good picture of where they're at right now. Now, by the way, if I was selling an idea, or if I was going in to sell an investment idea, you know, one of the reasons why Richard Branson is so successful is because, multi-billionaire, is because he's such an exquisite salesperson. He's constantly selling the bankers in terms of his ability to produce results for them and to return the investments that they make in him.
Well, he gets investors?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he sought investment money right from the beginning. Well, the first investment money that he sought was after he launched Student Magazine, which he launched pretty cheaply, he opened up the Manor. They opened up Virgin Records first, which was a mail order business, and then they opened up a Manor, which was a recording studio, and he had to get money to buy a house that was a different type of recording studio than most. You know, you think of most recording studios, they go in, they're kind of sterile environment, they have to record during certain hours. He said, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to open up buy a country house and let the musicians come out here and record at whatever time of day they want and just live at the house and hang out. And he was still in his early 20s, late teens to early 20s, it was in that time period, and he sold the bankers on his ability to return their investment. So, and
he's his own money now.
Yeah. So every step of the way, we're constantly selling in life, whether it's, you know, everybody's selling in life. The question is, are you good at it or not? Where's your heart coming from when you're doing it? I mean, here's a guy who says, yeah, you can believe in me. I'm going to return this investment. And they believed in him, and therefore, and every business venture that he did. So we can use these for investment purposes, for all sorts of different purposes. But we want to understand somebody's current situation. What that does is, even though we're in the questioning phase, that also helps to develop rapport with them because they know that you care about them rather than just trying to use them or trying to make a sale. So what this does is it shows the person that you really care to understand what's the nature of what's going on with them. And then it also fills in your picture. The second type of questions that I'll ask is should-be type questions.
As is?
What's your current situation? How many employees do you have in your organization? What's their current production? What's the average... what's the average revenue stream produced by a salesperson within your organization? What's your top producer doing? What's your lowest producer doing? In car sales, I would say, how many cars are you selling a month? Yeah, I'm gathering data to fill in my picture of their current situation. What's going on now? Yeah. What's going on now? What's going on now inside your business? What's happening? Should be type questions are questions like, what should you be doing in your business? Where should you be? What should you be producing? What should your salespeople be doing on a daily basis? How many people should they be seeing? How many clients should they be seeing on a daily basis? And what that's going to do, it's going to show the person the disparity between where they are and where they want to be as well. So we're beginning to create a gap. And we're understanding the client's situation. We understand where they want to be versus where they are. By the way, this questioning flow is very similar to the rest of NLP. When somebody comes in, we're going to find out where they are. Remember the keys to achievable outcome? Where are you now? What do you want for an outcome? What is it that you want? That's what we're doing. We're finding out where they are now and where they want to be. It's just like the keys to achievable outcome. We're just doing it on a different scale. Or in a different manner, and we may ask. I may ask several as-is questions. I may ask several should-be questions, depending upon the nature of the relationship or the nature of the selling relationship. I might spend more time on these types of questions. Like I might spend a lot of time understanding somebody's business before I'll even go into this, depending upon the nature of it. I mean, I remember one time I was going in to make a sale at Belkin Components. Anybody know what Belkin Components is? Their company, they manufacture, they do like all the the cables that plug into the walls from computers and stuff. They make a lot of cables and stuff. And I spent weeks studying their company and understanding where they were.